Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
If you're wondering, I am not Pastor Bob. He grew hair overnight. He apparently overdid it this week after his surgery, so he is home resting, tied to a couch with probably two dogs on top of him, I assume. I don't know. He hurts too bad to shove them off. So we will have him next week. He had a whole sermon ready as of this morning at 7:15. He no longer is preaching now. So, dear God, please show up. Normally, I don't say that out loud, but yes, we need God. Okay, so actually, let's do this. Let's pray real quick. Lord, we come before you, and we thank you for this Sunday. We thank you that you are here in the midst of us. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Bob at home. I thank you that you are the great physician. You are the healer. I pray just a calmness over him, no stress. Father, a peace would overcome him, that he would sleep soundly, he would get rest. And Lord, I pray for a speedy recovery. And Lord, for us here today, I pray that you would open up our minds, open up our hearts to your word and whatever you have for us today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
All right. So how many have ever heard of the Yosemite Fire Falls? Some of you, okay, well, I was going to say some of you older people, but I don't want to look at anybody. How many have heard of the, yeah. Actually, they began in 1872, and I was reading up on it again, and if you don't know, what they would do is at night, they would gather, or I'm sorry, during the day, they would gather all the firewood and the stuff that needed to be burned up, and they'd take it up to the very top of Glacier something. Hold on. Glacier Point. Thank you, whoever said that. Glacier Point. They'd pile it all up at the top, and they'd let it burn all day until it burned down to just coals, and then around 9 o'clock, they would all gather down at the camp down below, and a guy would walk out, and he would yell really loud, "Let the fire fall!" And they'd say it so loud that they could hear it up on the top of the mountain, and what they would do is they would shove off the coals off the side of the mountain, and this is what it would look like, and they'd have a Yosemite fire fall. Wouldn't that be cool? I actually hear that they've started doing it again. I don't know if that's true or not, but that they've started doing it again. And I wanted to show you just a quick video as we open up. Now, it's an older video, so don't laugh at me. Normally, I don't show older videos. But this is actually one of the gentlemen that used to yell from down below. I just want you to get a visual of what he's talking about. So watch this. Maybe.
Actually, there was a flashlight signal from, I don't know, somewhere over in here that would signal up that they were ready, that the two people that would continuously push these falls off, as Nick Fiore explained, so that you got this constant feeling of a fire fall like water coming over a waterfall. And then you would start your call. But you had to start the call so that it was synchronized, that when the last call came back from Glacier Point, that at that moment, the fire started to fall.
Okay, so let's run through this. Do it for us. It's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. All right. Well, the flashlight signals have indicated that they're ready to go.
Oh, oh. Glacier!
Then the return call would be "Hello, Camp Curry," or sometimes just "Hello, Curry." Great suspense. And then there'd be a response from Glacier Point, and at that point, within a matter of seconds, the fire would start to fall.
Now, here's the thing. You know, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is talked about as the fire of God. We always hear about the fire of God, all the different things of the fire of God, the fire this and the fire did this. And you know, when you watch something like that, I don't believe they all understood maybe the spiritual significance of it. But you know, I think that's something that our church is in the middle of, is we have always been a church about our community, and we've always been a church in search of doing and being what God wants us to be as a whole, as a congregation, but also as a people of God into our community and into those that are around us. And a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I can get up in the morning and don't feel like there's much Holy Spirit roaming around in my life. Or maybe you're in a circumstance at the grocery store or driving down the street or at school or at work or home, family. Who prayed for 10 Steves? Good grief. Sorry, that just popped up in my head. That was not a Holy Spirit moment. All right. But you know, there's a point in our lives where we have to go back to God, back to the altar. It's not a one and done thing. You know, yes, you may be saved and you may have your, as Pastor Bob calls it, your ticket punch to get to heaven. But you know, there's more than that. There's more than just an assurance that you have salvation. There has to be more. There is more. If there wasn't more, then why were the Israelites wandering in the desert? They knew who their God was. And yet they went moving, looking for the promises of God, looking to be the people of God, looking to act out and be who God called them to be. And there's a point in all of our lives where we have to do like that video, God, let the fire fall. But what does it really mean to tell God, God, let the fire fall in my life? I mean, if you think about it, they gathered all the debris and all the things that could be burned up, and they put it to the top of the mountain, and they lit it on fire. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not always ready to be lit on fire. I mean, shoot, I don't know where Sierra went, but I was curling her hair last week. And as I'm telling my two girls, hey, listen, don't touch this. The curling iron's really hot. What did I do? Yeah, right on my arm. Yeah, so it's not always something where you think you want the fire to fall. But you know, there's something in all of us that every day we got to get up and go, God, just be God. Just show up. You know, it's like this morning. I've got an hour and a half to find God. Just show up. But you know, I can tell a lot of funny jokes. I've got some really good stories. I could probably make you cry. I can make your emotions go up and down. But you know, if God's not in what I say, it's not worth coming. Go home and watch the Super Bowl. God, let your fire fall. Let everything I say and do, let everything I put my hands to do, let it be the work of you. God, let my whole life be so much on fire that everybody sits to watch and go, wow, what is God doing in her life? Wow, what is that? Yeah, I don't know about you, but nobody ever thinks about the fact that people that others would consider to be on fire for God, they've paid the price. They've given things to be burned. You know, it takes something to be kindled in order to be on fire. So the fire in the Bible is our symbols. And the first one is a symbol of deity for God. So Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, we sing about the consuming fire. It sounds really good until you're the one being consumed. Matthew 3:11, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Number two, it's a symbol of acceptance and approval by God. In the Old Testament, when they would offer an offering to God, they knew that God approved it because they would put out an offering. They would do all the things they knew they had to do. And they knew it was approved when God struck it with fire. Out of nowhere, fire would fall. And it would burn up all of the offering. And they would know, we have done what God wants us to do, and he's accepted it. In Leviticus, it says this, then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. Why did they shout and fall on their faces? It wasn't because it just smelled good outside. It was because they knew that God had shown up. It was because there was no doubt in their mind that God was God. And that what they had done, God had said, I bless it and I approve it. Your sins are made clean. You're healed. You're set free. All of the things that go on an altar, God does them. Number three, it's a symbol of God's presence. Whenever God was there. It was a demonstration of fire. Zechariah says, "For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be glory in her midst." You think about it. The children of Israel were in the desert with fire by night. How cool is that? That's pretty awesome. I mean, you know, if you sit down and wonder, this isn't in my notes, but if you think about it, like, was there a time he showed up? Did it start as like a little, you know, and it spread? Or was it like, bam, there's the fire. Somebody turn on the light switch. I mean, you wonder, don't you wonder about these things? Am I the only one? Like, was it at twilight? Or was it like, uh-oh, it's getting pitch dark. Oh, there's the light. I don't know. But think of all the things with fire. You have a heat source at night. You have light. It becomes like day. It becomes a source. You know, all of these things are, even though they're stories in the Bible, they were true life. And they're still true today. God still wants to be that fire in your life, the light that you look for in the middle of darkness, the heat, the things that bring peace and comfort. God wants to be all of those things to each one of us. And I believe that God is calling the church again to be a people of God that's consumed by the fire of God. That's consumed by the Holy Spirit who shows himself strong in our lives. By the fire of the Holy Spirit who comes and accepts us and approves us of who we are in Christ. You know, a lot of times I can go and try to do something, but if I don't understand my authority, then it makes it a little bit harder. You know, I've got keys to the property here. Sometimes I want to hand them back. But I've got keys to almost every room and building on the property here. But if I'm timid about, gosh, I don't know, can I use this one? I mean, I have the key, but am I allowed to go in there? If I'm timid and I don't understand my authority, am I ever going to get anything done? But we all have the key to the Word of God, to the power of God, to the fire of God, to the Holy Spirit, to what can open up other people's lives, to what can minister to others. And we walk around with all these keys fumbling around going, I don't know if I got authority to do that. But you have the key. The Holy Spirit's in you. You have the key for it. You have what it needs to open up the door for other people. Let us be a people who are ready to be consumed by the fire of God. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Man, can you imagine if we all just, God, let the fire fall. It's not in the programs. It's not in the barbecue after church. It's not in all the extra stuff. Not until you know your authority. And you go outside during the barbecue and you talk to somebody maybe you've never talked to before and they see the fire that's within you. Otherwise, just go out and get a hot dog, have a good time, go home and watch the game. But that's not our authority. That's not what God's called you to do. If you're here today, there's a reason you're here today. There's a purpose you're here today. You have an authority. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to reside in you. He does reside in you. And until you activate him and go, God, let the glory fall, let the fire fall, you're holding the key. 2 Timothy, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And the Amplified Version says this, this is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God. Your proverb says, for the lack of wood, fire goes out. What is the wood? It's us. It's what's around us. It's God. It's God in us. When you read the word, that's putting fire on the flame. When you worship God, you know, we don't come in and just open up in a couple songs so that we can get everybody who's a little bit late and wait for them. That's not the purpose of praise and worship. Purpose of praise and worship is to praise and to worship. We have a great worship team that leads us into praise and worship. It's not so that we can jump around and watch the lights. And I love all the lights. And I mean, if it were up to me, it'd be dark in here and I'd have more lights and things would be flat. It'd be great. But you know what? That's not what it's about. It's about praise and worship to God. Show him who he is. And go, God, here's all my keys. Here's everything you gave me. Let the fire fall on everything I do. Let everything I say, let everything I do, let every step I take, God, take it back for your kingdom. Otherwise, I'm just wandering. Some of us have ashes where there used to be fire because we're not putting wood on the fire. You know, some of us can look back and go, oh, this one time, wow, we had this great service. And so-and-so came in as a special speaker, and I got a prophecy they gave me, and wow, I laid it all out on the altar. Wow, how long ago was that? Oh, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago? Some of us have ashes laying around, aren't doing a darn thing. They're cold. They're worth talking about. Yeah, this used to be this, and this used to be this. It's not alive anymore. What are you putting on the altar for God? And it's not always about finding a bad habit to put on the altar or finding unforgiveness to put on the altar. Sometimes you just need to put yourself on the altar. Sometimes all the stuff that's good in us can make us not so humble anymore. And that needs to be on the altar. Because I don't know about you, but like I said, I've got a lot of good stories. But thank God I survived them all. But I didn't survive them. I survived them because I know who my God is. And if I don't let God use my test as a testimony, all it is just another story. There's a lot of people on TV with a lot of stories. Fire makes you move. You know, when I burned my arm the other day, it makes you jump. You ever been? I mean, you kind of, whoa, wait a minute. It kind of wakes you up. Some of us need that. Some of you need that. I need that. I need something to wake me up every now and then, almost like you get shocked into it. Whoa, what was that? Because it makes you focus. You know, when I burned my arm, I was wrapping the cord around the curling iron, and I burned my arm, and it made me focus. I was thinking about so many other things, but not the right thing. And it makes you focus and go, whoa, okay, where's the source of power here? I need to be careful with what I'm doing. Sometimes we can be a little flippant with what God gives us. We take it for granted. You know, you're sitting in here in a place of comfort, and we have people on the outside who may never go to church. Maybe they have because they've been forced to. Maybe they have just because they felt convicted or condemned. But you know, you may be here because you feel the peace of God here. Not everybody has that. Don't take it for granted. Jeremiah 5:14 says, because you, the people, have spoken this word, behold, I will make my words fire in your mouth, and this people would, and it will devour them. You know, it talks about tongues of fire in the book of Acts, so much so that Peter, after he got filled with the Holy Spirit, like fire is what it says, he went out into the streets and he said this in Joel, and it came to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's boldness. Can you imagine being in a room, secluded in a room for days and days and days? The Holy Spirit shows up, it says like fire, and you getting so bold that you run out into the streets where there's thousands of people because it's in the middle of festivities. There's thousands of people out there, and you stand up and you proclaim this so loud that hundreds and hundreds of people come to Christ. It's not like it's here. It's not like somebody would go, oh, they're a Christian. No. Christ had recently died. This is a new thing. You know, it's an ongoing thing, but it's a new thing. And here he stands in the middle of all these people, unbelieving people, and proclaims the word of God. When was the last time you were willing to stand up for the word of God? You know, we do the whole, oh, everybody needs to have their own opinion. and we get quiet. We don't want to ruffle feathers. We could offend somebody. You know, last time I checked, the Bible is pretty offensive. I mean, when I was growing up, if my parents tried to tell me to do one thing, but I wanted to do another, I got kind of offended. The Word of God is offensive. It doesn't mean to be offensive and hurt your feelings. It means to let the fire fall in your life so much so that you are convicted to live right. Convicted to live for the glory of God. Otherwise, everything we do is just for the glory of us. It points to us. This points to me, and that points to you. You're not here for that. Otherwise, you live a little bit longer, you die. She was nice. We all forget about her. Or maybe you live a little bit longer, you show others how to live a little bit longer, you tell others about the glory of God, and you die, and it's not in vain, it's because you lived for the glory of God. And people talk about it, not because it was you, but because they saw God in you. When was the last time somebody talked about your life and God in you? Luke 24, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture up to us? You know, it says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides in us. Yeah, I always make fun of Steve, my husband. I'm going to be nice here. I always make fun of him. But you know, one of the things I always say is Steve can make a wall talk. He came home the other day, I don't even remember from where, Walgreens or something. He's like, the people tell me everything. I don't know why. I don't remember what it was. I mean, he'll come home. He knows all the people at Starbucks, at the grocery store, at Walgreens. I don't know these people. He walks in. He's like, don't you know her? I'm like, no. She works at Walgreens. I don't know. He knows their whole life story. He knows how many kids they have. He knows if they've been married, if they're still married, where they've gone to school, what they want to do in life. He knows it all. Why does he know it all? Because people see something in him, and they feel like, gosh, I got to tell somebody. I'm not the person to tell. He's the one to tell. But is your life being an example, a flame for others? To ignite their own fire? Are you somebody that can be that contagious to somebody else and make them talk and make them question? You know, it's like these people on the road walking with Jesus and they didn't even know. Did not our hearts burn within us? Is there something in you where when people leave, they go, wow, what's different? I don't understand. What's so different? I mean, he's different. But really, he can make people talk, and it's not even he makes people talk. It's what's in him, and they go, oh, my gosh, let me tell you. It's almost like they feel like he has an answer, and he does, because the Holy Spirit resides in him, and he kindles that. He drives me nuts watching all these Christian TV preachers, and he does it. I get in his car to go driving, and there's a CD of a random preacher preaching again. I'm like, don't we ever listen to secular anything? I'm not that spiritual. Jeremiah said this in verse 20. You pushed me into this, God, and I let you do it. You were too much for me, and now I'm a public joke. They all poke fun at me. Every time I open my mouth, I'm shouting murder and rape. And all I get from my God warnings are insults and contempt. Listen to this. But I say, forget it. No more God messages from me. And the words are like fire in my belly, a burning in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in, and I can't do it any longer. Yeah. Jeremiah was a well-known prophet of his time, and he was known for giving these doomsday, hard prophecies to the people of God. So basically, he goes to God in these verses, and he goes, I'm tired of always having to give these words to people. I'm tired of always having to tell them what you want to say. I'm tired of always having to correct them. But he says, but every time I try not to, it's like a fire inside of me. And I can't hold it still, and I have to say it. It's like it's shut up in my bones until I get it out. When was the last time the Word of God was in you in such a way that you got to get online and proclaim it? You got to call your friends. You got to, when somebody's complaining or crying to you about something, you got to go, no, let me tell you the Word of God. When was the last time it was so inside of you that you could do nothing but say it and release it? Lay hands on somebody because you knew God had a healing for him. You ever had that? Like you see somebody who's hurting physically and there's something inside of you that's like, just go lay hands on them. Just go pray for them. Just go say something. Give them hope. They need hope. People need hope. It doesn't matter if it's physical. It doesn't matter if it's spiritual, emotional. People need hope. They need to know that there's something there. And, you know, hope is that thing that I go, God, I know you can do it. I think you can do it. No, I know you can do it. I have a hope. I hang my life on who God is. If I don't have this, I don't have anything. Are you at that point in your life? It's not about your career choice. It's not about who you marry. It's not about how many kids you have. Is God your hope? Because if everything went away, what do you have left? The Bible says that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when everything around you changes, when your life circumstance changes, your career changes, your finances change, your relationships change, your kids don't do what they're supposed to do, whatever it is, all of those things, when it doesn't go how you want it to go, what do you have left? Who do you turn to? Is it the fire that's within you? Is it like Jeremiah, where you go, God, I don't understand, but God, I know who you are. All of those stories in the Bible, you know, we read them and go, you know, I said this a couple weeks ago when I preached, it's not about, you know, the felt board and you put Jonah in the whale and you tell the story. It's not about that. What's the story in it? God's going to get his message out whether or not you want him to. You might as well be the vessel he moves through. I'm totally off my notes. Hold on. You know, at the end of the day, it comes down to just like that video. God, let the fire fall. Be God in my life. Be God in my circumstances. Show yourself strong. But it takes us giving him something. It takes us taking all of our stuff back to the altar and go, here it is, just light it on fire. And you know, I find it interesting that it says that they would burn it all day long until the fire almost burned out and there was only coals left. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people here with the same kind of circumstances where I feel like the season's going on and on and on. And on. And just when you think it's over, it goes on. And it goes on. And the fire seems to burn out. But you know, there's a point where I know God's going to go, okay, now's the time. Now it's the coals. Now it's where it should be. Just call on me. That's it. Just call on me. God, let the fire fall. God, let everything I've gone through not be for nothing. Let my life be for you. Let my life be for the glory of you. Everything I do, everything I say, let me be on the pedestal only because I'm on fire and people want to watch. And people go, I want that. How do I get that? And again, it's not about being the person that's well known. It's not about any of that. It's about being known by God. Are you known by God? Are you known by others for what God's doing in your life? Not because of who you are, but because of the power of God in your life. All of your infirmities, all of your sickness, emotionally, physically, spiritually, your relationships, your addictions, the good, the bad, your hopes, your dreams. How many people do you talk to where they go, yeah, I'm doing this job, but gosh, I've always wanted to. And they have something totally else in mind. You know, that's hope. That's a dream. I believe God gives us all dreams and hopes and visions and things to pursue, not because it's going to make us happy, but because it's going to make us happy because it glorifies God. So I challenge you today, when you go today, I challenge you in everything you do. Find where God's going to be. Give it to God. God, I lay it at your altar. I don't understand this, so here it is. You know, all the things you've tried to do, you've tried to work out. You know, Steve and I are in circumstances we've opened every door we possibly can to make things work on certain areas. And at the end of the day, it's been a long road, but at the end of the day, honestly, we laid it out. We even have communion with our kids 2 weeks ago. We do it every now and then, and our kids sit on the counter and we get some random bread. Cheyenne loves bread. She eats all of it, don't tell anybody. And she eats it before we start. But you know, we lay it out and we read the verses for communion. And we did that 2 weeks ago. God, we've opened every door. We've done it all. We don't understand. I don't know where it's going. I don't know what you're doing. All I know is our family wants to live for you. Let us burn for you. Let us be on fire for you. God, let your fire fall in our lives. And we lay it out and we laugh and we have a good time and we joke. But we all know at the end of the day, God's God. And he's in charge. And I can open up every door. I can knock on all the doors I want. But my ways are not as high as his ways. There may be a possibility of something I haven't even ever thought of. You know, I did a picture the other day. I like to watercolor, and I did a picture of Moses, you know, parting the Red Seas. And the reason I did is it was one of those moments where I thought, gosh, did he stand on the edge of the water and go, God, where are you? He had to have. He didn't know. He didn't go to the water thinking it was going to part. I mean, we all read the story and go, wow. What a man of faith. But how long did he stand there before he felt God go, just stretch your staff out, and I'm going to do something. But God, all I have is a staff, all this water before me, and all these people behind me, and the God, bad guys are on their way. I don't think it ever crossed his mind that God was going to part the Red Seas. Ever. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll ask Moses someday when I get to heaven. I got a lot of questions for people in heaven. Did Adam have a belly button? I don't know, right? We've had this conversation. My husband wants to know why I even thought that. I don't know. But really, maybe you're in a circumstance and you can't think of any other way. You're in the perfect spot because God's going to be God. Let him open the door that you never even saw. It's going to be above you, below you, around you, near you, somewhere you hadn't even thought of. Maybe it's not even a door. Maybe it's something you've never even seen before. Because I can't imagine Moses had ever seen that before. So again, as I close today, you know, I want all of us to leave with that fire inside of us. When you walk outside, you have a barbecue. When you go home and you watch the game or the commercials in halftime, whichever one. When you start your week again tomorrow, look for places that God can be the fire in your life, that you can be the one that they walk away and go, man, what was so different about them? Let God be God in who you are. Amen? Amen. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? You know, if you're